Let's look in our Bibles once again to Matthew 25, and my text is from verse 24 down to verse 30. And this study has to do with the parable of the wicked servant. We saw the last time in verses 14 down to verse 23 how the Lord gave the parable of the man who traveled to a far country and left talents to his servants. A talent is a weight of gold that was given to the servants to be able to use to continue the business of the master while he was away.
And
we saw in verse 15 of Matthew 25, it says, "And unto one he gave five talents, to another two, and to another one, but to every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey." And we saw how the one who had received five talents and the one who had received two both multiplied. They doubled what they had received. Such was their zeal and desire for the glory of their master.
And
the first two were commended for their labors for the Lord. Any that truly serve the Lord, they're not seeking any glory for themselves, but the Lord commends that grace that he gives them to use what he has given them to his honor and glory. And that's why in verse 21 of Matthew 25 and verse 23, it says that the Lord said unto him, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord." This is not to be understood as earning rewards, as some people preach, when the Lord comes again and each one will be rewarded. The reward of those who are the Lord's is to be in his presence. Notice it says, "Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord." That is all the reward of those who are the Lord's that he has redeemed.
Maripiro amenada walandira na amena kupezeka mnunshi wa kumapeto
But now we come to the portion that we will be looking at today concerning the wicked servant. Wherever the Lord has his true servants that he has called by his grace and serve him, you can expect that there are also going to be wicked servants around them. Wherever you have sheep, you're going to have goats. Wherever you have wheat, you're going to have tares. So this is what our Lord is describing here. These that profess to be the Lord's and pretend to serve his honor and glory, and yet they are simply self-serving. So let's read this, beginning with verse 24. Then he which had received the one talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee, that thou art an hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not trod. Verse 25, and I was afraid, and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that is thine. And this is how we know that this particular servant was a wicked servant and not one that served the interests of his Lord, because it says in verse 26, his Lord answered and said unto him, thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not and gather where I have not strawed. In verse 27, thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury, or with interest. Take therefore, verse 28, the talent from him, and give it unto him which hath 10 talents. For unto every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance, but from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. And here's where we see in verse 30 the end of those that are hypocrites, and cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. So here we see a representation of the Lord Jesus Christ as being sovereign over all individuals, whether they are his that he has redeemed or whether they are others that pretend to serve him but don't. We can liken these wicked servants today to false preachers and those that follow them that have been given money, that have been given means. They have very good livelihoods, and yet they take those things and they serve their own interests rather than the interests of Christ. In the epistle of Jude, which is just before the book of Revelation, there's only one chapter, but chapter 1 and verses 16 through 19, we find these being described. It says, these are murmurers, complainers, walking after their own lusts, and their mouth speaketh great swelling words, but having men's persons in admiration because of advantage. We find in this parable of the wicked servant that he was a murmurer, he was a complainer, and he walked after his own lusts. He had nothing good to say about his Lord. Rather than fear the Lord, he sought to justify himself and, in essence, blamed the Lord. It wasn't that the Lord had not left him anything. He received one talent. But rather than use that money for the good of his master, he buried it. He hid it. He was not going to use that to the glory of the master. It's like false preachers today that have means that they're given, but rather than use it for the furtherance of the gospel, they hide it. In other words, they don't want to give the Lord the glory, and they invest what they do have in material things, and things that people can look at and think upon and say, oh, wow, what a big ministry they have. Put it in church buildings and other things, but not the gospel.
Malomoti
It's like a preacher told me one time when I asked him why he did not preach what the Bible says about Christ and about his glory, and that salvation is in him alone and not in man's hands. And he answered me and said, yes, I see what you're preaching in the Word of God, but if I were to preach that in my congregation, then everybody would turn against me and leave. So therefore, I don't preach it. What is he doing? He's hiding what the Lord has clearly revealed in his word concerning his son. That's what it means there at the end of verse 16 of Jude 1, having men's persons in admiration because of advantage. They cherish their position more than they do the glory of Christ.
If I get Mara 16, Yayuda, one out of the Amenio, Odandaula, Oderera, Awenda, and among the Masrakola Gozao, Aburama, and Pajakin Rabau, and two are Samala Kirisi, I.
And so we read on here in verse 17, but beloved, remember ye the words which were spoken before of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, verse 18, how that they told you there should be what? Mockers in the last time who should walk after their own ungodly lusts.
Kuti ananena nanu panthawi yotsiriza patakhala otonza akuyenda monga mwazira kolako zosapembedza za iwowokha.
Is this not a description then of this wicked servant in our parable here that was a mocker, that when he was called into account he tried to justify himself, and ultimately all he was doing was walking after his own ungodly lusts? He was an unregenerate servant.
This
is a point that's difficult for many people today to believe, that somehow that preacher that is before them and leading them actually is not a servant of Christ, but is there to serve himself and therefore a servant of Satan. And it should not surprise us that this is the majority of those who preach in our day that do not serve the interests of Christ, but like this wicked servant, take that talent In other words, that which is to the glory of Christ, and bury it. They hide it because they will not give him the glory. And verse 19 here of Jude 1 tells us why these are the way they are. It says, these be they who separate themselves sensual, and notice, having not the Spirit. So let's come back here to my text in Matthew 25 and see what it was that this wicked servant expressed to his Lord when called to account. Verse 24 tells us, then he which had received the one talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee that thou art an hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not strawed. When we analyze his complaint is the same as so many today that have a profession of salvation, and yet they will not have Christ to be Lord in that salvation. They will not have him to be the one who does the saving, who is sovereign in salvation. The other two servants had no complaint about their master. They knew that everything that they had was from him. And therefore, when he distributed to them one 10 talents and one 5, they rejoiced. And they took what he had given and used it to his glory. But this servant, even though he had received one talent, yet he felt hardened toward his master, perhaps thinking that he deserved more recognition. And so he considers him a hard man. We're going to have the same sort of response from people when we preach Christ as sovereign of all and saving whom he will and condemning whom he will. What do people say about the Lord? They say he's a hard man. That's a hard God. And reaping where he had not sown and gathering where he had not strawed, he was complaining about having to do the Lord's work for him. When you consider yourself as being the Lord's servant, one that he has called and put into the ministry to go out and preach the gospel, it's a blessing. It's not a hardship for us to be able to declare Christ to a lost and fallen world and to see him reap where he purposes and to gather where he purposes. We're not taking any glory for ourselves. All the glory belongs unto him. And you can see there in verse 25, he says, I was afraid. What was he afraid of? He was afraid of giving his master the glory. That's really what happens when people, though they see Christ clearly set forth in the scriptures in all his glory, but they refuse to preach him that way. They're afraid of giving him the glory. Why? Because they want the glory. So they go and hide that talent. They hide that which glorifies his name. He thought that just by hiding the talent, that in his response there in verse 25, he says, look, I hid it, so go ahead, take it. Whatever's yours, take it. But that was not in a good sense that he was declaring it. So you can see that this wicked servant reflects so many today that will not give Christ the glory. They use whatever health or well-being that they have for their own interests and not that of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's like so many today when they hear this message of the gospel that gives Christ all the glory and that show him to be sovereign in all things. Rather than come and bow to him, they push back and they say, well, if he's sovereign and he does the work anyway, then I'm certainly not going to do anything. And they refuse to come to him. I dare say this would be our attitude toward the Lord, as he's revealed in the scripture, were it not for his grace and his spirit given to us to know him in truth and to bow to him and to serve him all the days of our life. Who makes us to differ? Who makes these to differ between the other two that the Lord said were faithful servants and this wicked servant? It's only the Lord. But I can tell you that the sovereignty of God as the master is never an excuse for laziness on our part. In fact, this is what the Lord condemns. I hear so many at different times saying, well, if God's sovereign in salvation, then why do anything? Whatever will be, will be. That's their attitude. That's like this servant that went and hid the talent and would not bow to this sovereign Lord. So even here in the parable, the Lord did not deny that indeed he was sovereign. He says there in verse 26, his Lord answered and said unto him, thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not and gather where I have not strawed. So he acknowledged that, yes, he is sovereign in all that he does, but that is no excuse for wickedness or for laziness or refusing then to serve him because of that. I hear some say that, well, if God's sovereign in salvation, then why even preach the gospel? Or if God's sovereign in salvation, why even pray? That's their attitude. They think that somehow, because God is sovereign, that all they're going to do is just hide the talent and wait for his ultimate judgment. But any who reason that way, in effect, are just showing what is the state of their own heart in hardness against this God. And this is where the Lord told him there in verse 27, at least he should have taken that talent instead of burying it and invested it to earn some interest of the master's money. Remember, this is the master's money. It's not his. You can see that if we're the Lord's servants, we acknowledge that all we have is from Him, but we're not looking around and comparing ourselves with what others have versus what He has given us. Whatever He has given us, our desire is going to be to invest in that, what He has given, that the Lord might indeed multiply
it.
You remember when the Lord was teaching the multitudes and the people began to hunger, and the Lord told them to go find food to feed them, and they found a lad there that had 5 loaves and 2 fishes, and they said to the Lord that that's all there was, but what is that to feed so many? And the Lord told them to bring it to Him, and He took it, and He multiplied it, and fed the 5,000, and there was abundance left over. That's what the Lord does, even with what little He may give us.
We
have a man in our congregation that if you looked at him, you would think, well, he doesn't have much to offer because he just does not look like somebody that has great wealth, and he doesn't. And he can't preach, he can't sing, but the Lord has given him the burden to take the Bible, take scriptures, and go out in the street and give these to different people that he encounters and encourage them to read the word. You might say he's taking what little has been given to him and investing it to the honor and glory of Christ. And we help him as a congregation. We buy the Bibles, and he goes out and talks to people about the God of the Bible. That's what the Lord has given him to do, even though he can't preach and can't sing, has a terrible voice. He doesn't preach, but he invites people to come with him and sit and listen to this gospel that gives Christ all the glory. That's the way that he's taking that talent and investing it for the honor and glory of Christ.
Malalikidwe age amuntu wangabuti yeyo sura amalalikiro tsakula Bible kumalalika anthu ake. Taizo samangwa ine nazo bwere kuchalichi, chene kuchalichi, aranya mula Bible. Mubwere kuchalichi mukamve kutenga wabwino, mbareke akakaka kulalikira. Ndi anthu aja amabwere kumene kuti mukamve kutenga wabwino, kuchokera kwa mwangu waita kuti kuchalichi chene kuchalichi tikapembere. Iyeyo adapatsira njira yake imeneyo yolalikira kutenga wabwino.
Unlike so many others that the Lord has given not only the means, they can drive their vehicles to come and hear the gospel if the Lord so directed, or has given them the health and the intelligence, and yet they refuse to come to hear this message. They hide that talent because they don't want to have a Lord, a Christ that is sovereign in all things, as it says, reaping where he is not sown and gathering where he is not strawed. But here's where we see that man's unbelief in no way inhibits God from doing his work. In verse 28 of my text, Matthew 25, he says, take therefore the talent from him and give it unto him which hath 10 talents, for unto every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance, but from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. When I look at our congregation here in Shreveport and I see the ones that the Lord is bringing and has given this desire that they might hear this message of Christ, and I consider how many others have come and sat for a while and gone away, and some even taken out into eternity. What they had was taken away. But oh, the joy of these that the Lord has brought and continues to give to them for the glory of Christ. What a joy.
Chuma choperekedwa kwa iwe mpatso kuluka ipitse nchito kukulalika utenga wabwino chimwemwe chimakuta mtima wa chimwemwe chimabwera pa dzina la Ambuye pamene ukukwanilitsa mpatso imene idaikidwa pa iwe kuipereka kuti ikagwire nchito monga mmene iyo idaperekedwera.
Just because the majority of people will not hear this message of giving Christ all the glory and salvation by his death, yet the Lord has taken what they have refused and has revealed it unto others who do rejoice, and that's God's work to do. But just because men refuse to bow to this Christ and serve him, that does not mean that they are without excuse. In fact, verse 30 tells us that all such will be cast into outer darkness. That means complete separation from God, where there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth.
Likoza kuchita bwino kugwitsa ntchito mphatso imene yaperekedwa pa iwo kuthenga wabwino koma asali onse pamodzi akuonekera mu njima yake ya pete imene kunena kuti ndipo kunyanika poloyo wopanda pache kumdima wakunja kunaenda kuti munthotseredwe pamaso pa Mulungu kumene kudzakhala kulira ndi kukuta mano.
When it says weeping and gnashing of teeth, this is not representing regret. It's not that now they regretted not having served, but that word weeping and gnashing of teeth means anger. Just as they were angry at this sovereign Lord in their lifetime, so they will continue to be angry throughout eternity at this very God who has judged them. So this parable then is designed to cause us to reflect and to think upon who the Lord Jesus Christ is and how it is that we serve him or not. When I think about what that talent represents, the very knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ through his word, if we're taught of the Spirit, that knowledge is going to cause us to bow and to desire to serve him with our time, our money, our abilities, all that he has given us. We return to him because it's his anyway. But also it contains a warning to any who have the knowledge. In other words, they can see it in God's word. And the time and money, abilities, all these things the Lord has given. And yet, rather than come to Christ, they prefer to continue on their way and serve themselves, but ultimately will be judged. My prayer is that by God's grace, we be found among these that the Lord said, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." It's not any goodness in us or faithfulness in us, but it's how he has made us to be his own by his death there on the cross, and therefore our desires to serve him all the days of our life.
Kuti tikamtumikire Ambuye monga mmene Mulungu akufunira, tikagwiritse ntchito chimene chidaperekedwa kwa ife ku ulemerero wa Ambuye wathu Yesu Khristu, osakhala kuti ife ndife abwino ayi. Mwa ife mulibe kabwino kakhale kamodzi. Koma tikachite chimene chidaperekedwa kwa ife chifukwa chakuthandizidwa ndi Mulungu, kuti masiku onse a moyo wathu tikakhale mnyumba ya Mulungu kulemekeza ndi kutamanda dzina lake.
And there's no greater blessing for us then than to enjoy these days that he's given us in this life in the joy of the Lord, but even throughout eternity to enjoy his presence forever. And seeing the case of this wicked servant that should cause us to bow in humble adoration of our Lord, that he would be pleased to separate us out, that we not be condemned with so many that are like this wicked servant, that have no interest in the Lord Jesus Christ and his death, but serve their own interests.
Komanso kukaona mmene mlanduwo udathera wokamponya uyu kumoto kuti Mulungu atithandizire kutimu izi zonse tikaonemo ambuye ndikuka gonja ndikulemekeza ambuye mosadzilemekeza doka toka kudzifunira ife toka eni ulemu ndi matamando ai.
Well, we're going to stop there for now, and I pray the Lord bless to our hearing and our hearts this word.
Wow. To God be all the glory and honor because of the beautiful expounding preaching of this gospel. For sure, our hearts has been blessed.
Amen.
Encouraged, comforted, advised, and directed.